everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I'm a self-admitted lazy ultra runner that has nothing extra to say.
And I'm Mitch. I'm addicted to signing up for races.
Oh, yeah. Especially free ones.
Free is always good.
You know, those free entries get signed up quick.
I like this. I started off early.
Better than the back end.
Yeah, and just say, looking for free entries.
Free entries, especially in what states again? Oh, man, that should be... You should have those dialed.
I do.
You're down to like 9 states now? Or is it 10? 9?
Yeah.
Obviously, Hawaii and Alaska.
Hawaii and Alaska with a travel would be great.
Or even the race is fine, but...
Yep.
You have some Delta points.
Yep.
Mitch will take them.
I will. And then South Dakota and Idaho. I'm signed up for Idaho. I got most of that set up.
Okay.
I'm going to pace Laura at Tahoe 100 the week before, and then I'm going to fly from Tahoe or Reno to
Idaho. What race is that?
Idaho Falls Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's in the fall?
It's in July. July 27.
Right in the summer. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually golfing in July, so that won't work for me. Month of July, I'm golfing. No, I'm just kidding.
Good.
I know we did talk about it. Yeah. I'll have to still see.
I still have to get my second place to stay.
Idaho.
Yeah, probably because we're going to make a vacation out of it and go to Grand Tetons is the plan.
Oh, okay.
And then the other side, I'm signed up for race the week after Glass City in New Hampshire, downhill race. That's the other one.
Yeah.
And then I need Georgia.
Which Georgia would be a fun one.
Yeah, and I think I found something in the fall that's like 12-hour drive. So I'm kind of, after all my travel issues from last time, I'm okay driving that far.
That is a poke.
What's that?
That is a poke.
12 hours.
It is,
but a lot of times, like to fly somewhere like that, you're going to have 8 hours of travel time no matter what. By the time you get to the airport, get there and drive. True. But you're just not having to do the driving, right?
True, yeah.
If you have a couple drivers, that's okay. And then I need New Jersey, Vermont, and Massachusetts. And what's the other? Did I miss one or not? I don't know if I missed any.
I don't know. But so speaking of races, we're going to cover some races, but let's talk about the last week. Why are we recording this today versus a week ago? Life is crazy. I was supposed to be gone
last weekend.
That's
around.
That's why it just makes it crazy. We were supposed to record this. Oh, no, we weren't supposed to because I was supposed to be gone. And then I had a dog that everybody that has dogs that's listening to this can understand this. We had to put down a dog. Terrible. Sucks. That is one of the worst things. However, what that did, interestingly enough, these are the kinds of things that I think God orchestrates in my life or anybody's life, right? Because of that, I was actually home and I got a phone call. So I was supposed to be gone that weekend starting Thursday, but I got a phone call Friday. Hey, your grandmother's probably going to pass. So because of staying home, because of the dog, I was actually able to go up, say my goodbyes to my grandmother on Friday, which I'm so thankful for because, I mean, just that was just such a blessing in my life to be able to go do that. And she passed away. So that just meant, man, what a week last week.
Well, right. And then sometimes we'll try to get together in the middle of the week or do that, just too busy. And typically we've been trying to do Fridays, which has been working really good for us.
Yeah.
But then the funeral was yesterday.
It was kind of a funeral, not funeral. Okay. My grandma did not want a traditional funeral. So it was really just, graveside memorial of some kind. I don't know what you would call it, but a collection of a gathering of our family And that was really, really good. I was again, super thankful that you were more than flexible to be like, yeah, I can't do it. And allowed me the time to be able to do that because it was good. So all that to say, we are like in chaos. It seems like in the recording, the when we're recording, when we're not, right. And like, oh, that doesn't work. So let's push it.
I know. And what it does is it just adds all the stress because this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And the fun part is doing the actual recording, right? When we have guests, we talk about fun subjects, we laugh, but then the editing part. So that's the part you have. It's not about the recording. That's easy. It's just the editing afterwards and trying to get all that together. And I'm technically technology challenged on that kind of stuff. As far as like, I don't have any artistic bone in my body.
Yeah. We need to have you like take over some of that and then be like,
you wouldn't be very happy. Right. You wouldn't be happy with it.
Well, we would tell everybody that listens, hey, look, Mitch is doing it this week. Give him some grace.
It's going to suck.
No, it's good. I guess the reason we say that, we bring this up is just like asking for some understanding of like, hey, not every week. Well, our goal is every week. Like we want to hit every single week. And so that is our rhythm, but there's always the outside chance that like life literally gets in the way and we can't get a recording. But, and then to add to that, we wanted to record this earlier than this.
Yeah. Cause it's been more than a weekend and a day.
And
I'm getting to be an old man and my memory, it's like, oh, that was a long time ago. It was like two weeks ago is all.
So we wanted to get this recap of Salisbury Marathon. Salisbury Steak Marathon in. That's one of the things we wanted to focus on this year was recapping races, talking about which ones we like, which ones we don't, our experiences, because to be honest, there's only so much a race can do to make it good or bad, right? It's 26.2 miles.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking marathons here, but across the board, fill in the distance. There's only so much a race can do to make that 26.2 great or not. It's still 26.2 miles, unless you have the one like you had in... Where was that? It ended up being like 28 miles or something stupid.
Brazos Benz.
Yeah.
When I came around the halfway point, because it was a two looper and I was at 14 miles. I'm like, oh, damn it.
This doesn't seem right.
This sucks.
Now,
I wasn't in the mood for a 28 mile marathon.
Well, what's funny is you say it's Brazos Benz. That's a trail.
Yeah.
You kind of understand.
That's a loose term because it's like two track kind of like.
But it's an ultra, right? Isn't Brazos Bend have an ultra?
There's a 100-miler. You can do whatever distance you want all the way up.
I feel like...
I didn't want to do a 50K, so I guess I it was less than a 50K.
It was. Yeah. But I almost feel like if you enter into the trail/ultra side of things, distances are very loose.
It is true. I did... What was the one I did in Utah? It was Bryce Canyon, and it was a 60K. And I chose the 60K on purpose because it was supposed to be a loop. It wasn't no out and backs. And I wanted to see more. Yeah. Well, the reality is when you get to those higher miles, you could care less what the scenery looks like. You just want to be done.
Yeah. Especially the last half.
It was beautiful, but that was, I think a 60K would be what? 38 miles, 37 miles, somewhere in there. And, I think my GPS, I came to the last aid station and I was close to 40 already. I'm like, oh, I'm tired. Just want to be done.
Yeah.
But they had Coke. And they were going to pour it in a cup for me. Give me the whole can. I drank a whole can of Coke. So those are the stuff that you always remember.
Yeah.
I'm tired and it's like, oh, it juiced me up a little bit.
Yeah. And so... there's only so much a race can do to make it good or bad. So we want to make sure we're sharing the entire experience.
Right.
Because a race is an entire experience. It's an experience sometimes even in the training up to it, which I'll talk about a little bit today, actually with what's going on. And then it's the travel. It's the race. It's the post-race. It's the getting home. Like that is a complete experience. And so we want to talk about that a little bit because everybody's going to have a different experience, but this is your experience and it's real. It's
yeah. And it doesn't mean that, you know, like if I have a bad experience, it doesn't mean that race is bad.
Right.
But that's my experience. So, and it's just funny. That's why I'm so anti-virtual race, is because
yeah,
a virtual race, you don't get that whole experience. Like you don't have to line up with other people. You don't have to sit there and be cold at the start. You can walk out your door and you can kind of do whatever, or you can park yeah. somewhere and you can just quick throw your jacket in your truck when you're ready to go and you can go.
It's much different.
It's, yeah. it's so much different, but like running to where you have to get somewhere and you have to read their stupid website to try to figure out what the directions are or that kind of stuff and try to get to packet pickup to get your stuff and all of that that comes with it. So that's a whole experience all the way around.
Yeah. And no matter how much you prep, read all you want to read, there is a certain amount of unknown still tied to,
oh yeah,
to it. I mean, you can be as prepared as you want, but you're still sitting there feeling like, what am I, you know, am I missing something? Is everything the way it should be? So there's that. And you don't have any of that with virtual.
No.
There's no unknowns. You get up and you're like, all right, I'm going to run from my house.
Yeah.
You know, like I did whatever, 3 weeks ago or whatever, four yeah. weeks ago. There was zero stress yeah. with that. I mean, literally zero stress.
You know, there's that part that says the distance is a distance. It's still yeah. going to kick your butt, yeah. right? It's not, you can't take that away. So the distance, I agree, like a marathon distance, it's hard.
Yeah, no matter what.
And you're going to have problems yeah. no matter yeah. what, but you don't have all that added stuff, all that added stress with it.
Yep.
So you can kind of plan out your day that way. And and if you don't feel good that day, you do it the next day.
Yeah, exactly. That's the piece that is really a little, yeah, that's the piece that really makes you go, yeah, virtuals just are.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll talk about that one later.
But we get started on Salisbury, I do want to say this. I want to put this out there because I want to just speak to a little bit of like where I'm at with my running, because it's been great. I've had a great buildup this year, but we talked about when you were out, you don't know what you don't know segment with PT Sports Pro, mm-hmm. Terrence and Dave, we talked about cadence and strides per minute. Okay. And 180 is a goal for many. Like what Terrence spoke, it is a very efficient way to run 180 steps per or strides per minute. And we talked about that. And in the course of conversation, I felt like my understanding, and this is why I want to clarify this. I want to get this out there because I don't think my understanding was the correct understanding of what Terrence was saying.
Weird.
Yeah. Yes, you want to go to 180 steps per minute right away. Yes. However, you have to treat it like couch to 5K, couch to half marathon, couch to marathon. You don't just go out and run 10 miles at 180 steps per minute. You need to progress that. And I think I missed that piece. And so I want to say this to everybody listening.
Because then you had some pain.
I had some serious issues and I had to take a step back. I went out and did a 14 miler and I didn't start with a 14. I started with the 8 or the 10, which still was probably too much. It was probably causing some issues.
So you're a typical runner.
Typical runner. And I jumped to 14, and man, after the 14, actually at the end of the 14, I was having issues. And I went, man, this is crazy. Because leading up to...
So you should probably try to do that for Glass City next week.
No, I have, it's interesting. So I'm going to get to this. Leading up to the 14 miler, the few that I had done before, the numbers that I was getting from like Stride, from Strava, from Garmin was telling me that it was actually easier to run at 180 strides per
minute.
Really?
So your stride was coming back and saying, hey, you're doing good.
Yeah, it was actually saying you're not working as hard.
But the other side of that, though, is that your body isn't adjusted to it.
Body's so you're not probably, ready necessarily.
You might not have been working as hard.
Yep.
But your body's like, what the heck are you doing?
Heart rate, power, both went down for the same, let's say, speed, right?
Hmm.
And I thought, that man, that is exciting. And so I jumped up to the 14 miler, did the 14 miler, and everything was the same, except I felt it in muscles and ligaments or wherever. And I had to dial that back. And so I had to literally.
You are older now too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Pretty old.
Not as old as you. I did anyway, little potential injury, but not just stress probably. And have dialed that back up by using a normal stride. My normal stride, which is more like 165 strides per minute. But what I want to say is, through this process, it's actually hard now to dial it back. Like, I went out yesterday, did a 8 miler, and I found myself, the strides were pushing faster. I mean, just that quickly, I'm already starting to get that. So anyway, I wanted to say that if you are trying to go to 180 steps or strides per minute, careful, do it as if you've never ran a 5K or whatever, and do it slowly, progress slowly. But yes, you don't go from 160 to 170 and then 170, 180. You do want to go to 180, but use it as if it's, you might only do a couple of miles. And then go back to your stride, or you might do, then the next time you do whatever, 5 miles or whatever, work that progression up slowly versus all at once. And I believe that's what Terrence probably was supposed to be telling me, but I didn't hear it. Okay, that out of the way.
That was a lot.
I know. Whew. But I wanted to get that out there because it affected me, and we had said it.
Well, you got scared. You started texting Terrence and said, I don't know what's going on. I'm hurt.
Yeah.
I might have to come in.
I honestly thought Glass City, which is a week out right now.
Yeah.
Was
done.
Was potentially going to be an issue. Cause I felt like almost injury prone. So, yeah. So anyway, let's talk about Salisbury Steak. We say that, but it's not. It's Salisbury, Maryland.
Yeah.
Maryland. It's not the Salisbury, Maryland Marathon. It's the Salisbury Marathon in Maryland. Put on by Run SBY. I'm not sure if it's Runsby or Run SBY. Maybe it's Run SBY.
They do a few races, but
yeah, you
know, it's funny. Like, it gives me an excuse to wear these shirts. It's not a bad looking
shirt.
That's
actually not a bad. Is it the soft?
Yeah, it's soft and nice. And it's actually,
I like it.
Yeah, it's probably more towards cotton. It's probably not a running shirt, but I don't care. I mean,
yep.
I was telling somebody the other day, I have shirts that I have in the race bags in my truck yet, like I threw in the back.
Oh,
so
really?
Now if we do a race recap, whatever that word is, the recap, I wear the shirt at least once.
Yeah.
then I'll throw it in my truck.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. I did it before you, a week before.
That is true.
We talked about my race recap of the,
you know, and then
what
after
supposed to be.
What we realized is you probably could have done it because of how I pushed to get back, because the race was on Saturday, but I drove down there.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, again with my cheapness and then trying to do a lot per year. Here's the thing, if you're doing a lot, like your budget, if you're doing one or two vacations a year, your budget can be bigger. But, and I don't look at it as a vacation, but when you're doing this, there's cost to it.
Yeah.
So I try to get that cost down as much as possible so I can do as much of this as possible. So it's not that I'm cheap, because I'm not. It's trying to work it out.
Yeah, it's the difference between 2 or 10.
Right.
You can have the same amount of dollars.
Because that's why we backed off on Alaska this year, is because it was going to be about $3,000 just in flights.
Wow.
Between the two of us. Goodness. So I was like, I got to rethink this. I can do a lot. So I've changed my goal. I'm thinking, hey, if I can get everything done but the last two, Alaska and Hawaii, then I can take my time to do those and do other stuff.
You could save money and drive there.
Well, if I get my van, I can't drive to Hawaii though.
True. Cargo ship. Drive onto a cargo ship.
Yeah, that take like a month to get there or whatever. Yeah. That's a good idea. I like it.
Yeah.
Gotta retire.
Gotta retire first.
Good idea too.
So Salisbury Marathon. You drove out.
Yeah, I drove out. So I was looking at it and I'm like, you know, after all my travel issues trying to get out and back to Bataan, I'm like, all right, it's only 12 hours. But, you know, you figure it out and you say, hey, a lot of times if you're flying that far, you're not going to get into an airport that's close by.
You have a couple hours probably.
And I was looking at flights and they were like $800, $1,000.
Wow.
And I still would have to drive 2 hours plus rent a car. I'm like, all right, I think I, you know, and I kept looking at this race and I looked at it for a month and I'm like, it fits into the time frame. I could do this. It's a state I need. And I'm like, no. And then I just like cross it off. And then I'd come back to it. Like it fits in. It like the timing is good.
Yeah.
I should do it. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to have to drive, you know? And it's like, okay. So I'm going to have to leave Thursday night after work. And then what I'm going to do to save money is I'm going to drive my own vehicle and then I'm just going to sleep in the backseat.
Yeah. So did you find a rest stop?
I did.
Yeah.
And that's the fantastic part. It's a straight shot. Like driving from Michigan straight out to Maryland, it's like you're on the turnpike all the way through Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
It's a straight shot. Like it's turnpike.
Pretty smooth sailing.
Smooth until you get into Pennsylvania, it gets a little curvy when you start getting out east a little bit here and there. But the thing is, though, is I realized I had an easy pass too. And I put money on the easy pass because you're going to,
nice.
You know, I probably had, you know, 80, 50, 60 bucks in tolls that way. Took my truck, got good gas mileage, like 21 to 22 with that truck. But it's so comfortable to drive. So, I mean, I could have taken one of the kids' cars or Tammy's car.
Yeah, and saved a little bit.
Double the mileage, but I was like, eh. And they're not very big. Like,
no, sleeping in the back might not have been as comfortable.
Would have sucked. So I got out there. I got 7 hours in. So I was in Pennsylvania, heavy into Pennsylvania before I stopped.
Like 10-ish?
Yeah, it was like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I think I was texting you. You know, at some point when I stopped.
Then you crashed.
Took a nap. Well, it was raining though. And I'm telling you, I don't know if this is just my eyes, but I don't enjoy driving at night and I don't like driving at night in the rain.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I can't see. You can't see anything.
Yeah, that's your age.
Maybe. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be.
Over 50, yeah.
So I did, and I finally stopped, and you're wired when you're driving that long. So I was about 7 hours in, and I'm like, all right. And I got some those sunshades.
Oh, okay.
So it was a bright parking lot. Like, it's all lit up. And that's what I like about the turnpike rest areas is, like, they have everything. Like, you go in there, true. And you can get food. You don't have to – you got gas. You don't even have to get off the highway that far and try to navigate. You get off, go to those rest areas, you can get – something to eat, something to drink, and fill up with gas. So it's so fast.
Yeah.
And slept in a parking lot there. I put all those sunshades up and it was dark inside my truck. And I didn't hear a thing and I knocked out. And then I was thinking about sleeping in the back. But
in the backpack?
Yeah. The only thing is I have a soft cover though. And that would have been, I think I would have felt very claustrophobic if I would have done
that.
Yeah. It would have been more comfortable because I would have stretched out, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But I got up and I could hear it starting to rain again. And I, like,
oh,
about
my goodness.
6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, I thought, oh, I'll get on the road. And the roads start to get more narrower and it is and start to curve and it's raining and there's trucks. Oh my gosh, I couldn't see a thing and I'm just not having a good time. I'm like, oh, this is not fun. Like, I do not like driving in this stuff. So I had a couple hours of that. Just white knuckle, trucks right next to you, you know, and it's like, it's horrible. It smoothed out, got there, went to, you know, it's like, okay, I got there too early for pack and pick it. Yeah, so I needed to get my my race bib and all that stuff. And you say packet pickup or the expo. It was a room.
Uh-huh. Like, about as big as this.
Yeah, it was small, you know, and it's like, you know, and it's fine. Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. And it was in this huge place. And I think they had like a hot tub expo. So I could have bought a hot tub while I was there. Oh, wow. And, you know, got my race packet. So
Sammy would have loved that.
Yeah.
Went to a race and brought home a hot tub.
Yeah. I had my truck, you know? So I, you know, I went through that and then I had time. It's like, okay, what do I do the rest of the day now? Cause I want to get, I like to relax, but then I'm like, all right. So.
Well, you were staying in a hotel, right?
I was. And I went to go to my hotel and I'm like, oh, can I check in early? Yeah. For another $25. Well, my cheap side says like, no.
Oh, wait.
But then it got my hackles up. I go in there and it's like a day's in and they had to, and it's not a great part of town. And then they had to buzz me into just the lobby and the lobby was different from the hotel. And I'm like, that's weird. And it's like, this is the cheapest place I could find. I was thinking I got to go cheap. And then like, all right, I'm not going to pay an extra $25 because what am I going to do? You know, so maybe I'll get something to eat.
Yeah.
Drove down the road, went to a brewery, got a beer, got a burger. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with all my time all day because there's nothing around. Like, it wasn't, like, it's not this big vacation destination spot. Like, what was I going to do? And finally get to, you know, wait, and it's time, and I got to go check in. And I go and I check in because I had reserved it. I'm like, I don't know, man. This is not a cool place. And I'm walking back. I drive back. And there's cars parked kind of crooked. And I just notice there's garbage all over the walk. And then, like, I walk up and I try to find my room. And the doors on that side didn't have numbers on them. It's like those hotels that are outside.
Yeah, I was just going to say the doors on the outside. Okay.
And my room number is laying on the ground. I don't know what my room is. I try to check that one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I'm like, this is not good. Like, this is not where, like, is my truck going to get broke into? Is it going to be nasty in there? I am not sleeping in something nasty. And I went back into the office. I'm like, I can't stay here. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, what do you, she's like, I understand. Like, right away, she understood.
Oh,
she's
my
like,
goodness.
Yeah, this place is nasty.
Holy cow.
I had to find a hotel last minute. So I went closer to town and I was kind of calling around, you know, as I'm checking, you know, because it was a neat little town. It kind of reminded me of Holland, like where the race itself was really good. And I'm like checking around. I'm like, all right, I found one and it was $50 more, but it was a good $50 to spend. But they actually had a gated parking lot that you had to use your card to get in and out, but it wasn't the same part of town.
Yeah.
So it was fine. And it was actually like a Best Western. So it was a decent hotel, decent place. And that's where I ended up staying.
Wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. Like, I travel a lot and I can put up with a lot because I slept in my truck, but my truck is my stuff, not somebody else's.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's interesting. So you traveled out there, found a different hotel. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So was that actually closer to the race then?
It was closer to, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like a 5-minute drive to get to the race. And in the morning it was easy. I just drove and you park in the parking ramp, you know, and then the race start was different than the race finish. So I parked probably closer to the finish and they had a, you know, that's a cool part.
Not a terrible long ways, but just.
No, it was half a mile.
Okay.
Gotcha. But as and it was cold. Like, as I'm starting, I'm like, I'm looking at the weather. I'm like, I'm going to have to wear tights. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And a jacket, but it warms up during the day.
Oh.
So I'm like, I wore tights and I wore like the sleeveless shirt, like a compression, and I put a jacket on over it. And walking down there, I'm like, I don't know. I was so cold, like at the finish at Baton. I was like, I don't like being cold. Cause I won't only remember I was shivering at the beginning of Baton. I'm like, I don't want to be cold at the start. Like, I'd rather be too warm. I'm getting to be a sissy.
Yeah.
So I lined up, I'm walking down there and I'm walking next to this guy and I'm like, that guy looks familiar. And I look over and I'm like, that looks like Bart Yasso. I've met him a few times and I'm like, I don't want to just say it. So I'm walking along and I'm like finally I come up next to him. You look familiar. He's like, yeah, you look familiar too. And I used to work for Runner's World. I'm like, yep, you're Bart Yasso. So I talked to him for a while and, you know, walking in, super nice guy. And that's like probably the third or fourth time I've met him at different races, but it's been years. Oh,
okay.
I met him at Wine Glass, I think, at the start. He was actually running it. I've seen him at Pike's Peak, like in the crowd as you're finishing, you know, like he's slapping hands and stuff. And then I saw him at Route 66. He was in Marathon Maniacs Corner or whatever, and he was talking to people. So I've seen him at multiple races. Gotcha. Seems like he always pops up.
Yeah.
Super nice guy, and he was announcing the race at the finish.
Oh, okay.
So he was working. I don't know how old he is, though. He's got to be in his 70s now.
I would guess. Yeah, he's up there.
And so we're... race starts pretty decent, you know, pretty flat course.
How big of an event?
I don't know. Thousand, not a huge event.
Okay. About half the size of Grand Rapids.
Yeah. And I think it's a pretty new race.
Okay.
The route through, you know, it kind of took you out in the country, you know, it was kind of nice. Windy.
Oh,
it turned out to be windy. So I'm so glad I had my jacket on.
Oh my gosh. Wind sucks.
But it was another one of those things. Like I was able, aid stations were good, you know, just for a small race, you know, no problem there. I think that they actually had one aid station that I passed that wasn't set up. So they must not have had enough volunteers. And we've talked about that before. It's a difficult thing sometimes, you know, to get people to volunteer.
Yep.
But I always had good aid, always, you know, never had a problem, you know, as far as getting water. I didn't have to carry anything. They had goose. They had all that stuff on the course. So, well, you know, like I've been to races where they don't have goose.
Yeah.
I think Bataan didn't have any goose, actually. They had bananas.
Yeah, I think you said that. Yeah.
Yeah. So really good. But it's just like you get on that back half, you do the first part of it. It was like two big loops. And you're with the half marathoners. And then it was like, once you get to the full, as usual, it's like a lot less people.
Slims down quite a bit. So it was a two looper?
Two different loops.
Oh, okay.
Kind of the route kind of brought you back.
Okay.
And the half would finish and then you're out there again.
Okay.
But that backside, the wind, the headwind, it was like, oh. And I come next to the side and I'm like, he's walking. I'm like, he was complaining about the weather. I'm like, I've run in worse. You know, this isn't horrible. But I had that same thing. Like last time, like when I was talking about Gulf Shores, I had that spot in the middle of Gulf Shores got warm, but I had a spot where I just couldn't get any speed. But I think it was the wind.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm running along and then the 420 guy, Pacer, catches me. And I'm like, cause I got to the half and I'm thinking it was about, you know, 2:05. And I'm like,
okay,
I should be able to, you know,
4:10. Yeah.
I should be able to get 4:20 at the most. And I'm kind of calculating in my head. And then that 4:20 guy catches me. It's like, if he catches me at with 4 or 5 to go, that means like 4:25, 4:30.
Oh,
and I don't know. I talked to him for a little bit and we kind of chatted and I'm like, I feel okay. Like I'm just lazy.
So gotcha.
I actually picked it up and I felt good. Like I was able to pick it up and I was able to bring it in and we were kind of out of the wind at that point.
Yeah.
Couple little headwinds as you kind of turn, but I was able to pick it up and I finished at like 4:15.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because man, you hit those stages in long runs like that marathon where you're right. You just get, it's not even, it's just like, it's monotonous. So you're just like, slow down because it's just like, it's so hard to explain because I've been there too, where you just go, no, just run. You just got to run.
Yeah.
you're not. And it's like in ultras, I can say there are tons of times where that impacts you because you look at your heart rate, it's like 90 and you go, you're not tired. You're just being lazy. Yeah. Just run.
It is. I've given people this advice, like the end, like that last 6 miles, you're not tired. You're sometimes you're bored. Like
yes.
It's like, I've been running this long and it's just like, and you have to get out of that boredom. I mean, there are times where I've definitely hit the wall and I'm exhausted. That does happen. But a lot of times I'm just lazy.
And you might be tired, but you are capable of going faster.
Yep.
100%. So
I don't know. I'd have to look at my splits, but I picked it up and I was running decent again.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see your heart rate. Oh, you don't have a, do you wear a heart rate?
Only wrist.
Wrist.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see heart rate because it probably drops. Whereas like a 13 to let's say 16, let's say you were running 145 heart rate.
Yeah.
And then 16 to 20, I'll bet it drops to like 135.
Yeah, so, well, I was fighting a wind though. So they're definitely
true. You know,
and I wasn't walking. Like I didn't stop to walk because I laughed at that guy when he was complaining about the weather. It just made me laugh.
Yeah.
But again, I like misery. So
I would be curious to see that because I think you're right. We get bored and we just, you know, and we slow down.
Especially when you're doing multiples and it's like, it wasn't a PR race. I was just like
racing,
I'm trying to get a state done. I want to run a decent pace. I just, you know, I want to run.
And it's a nice setup for Glass City.
Yeah.
Because you were getting ready to come up to Glass City pacing, which you're pacing what?
435.
435. Yep. Okay. So yeah. So the race itself, fine race.
Yeah.
No issues. But was the course, you talk about the back.
Pretty flat.
The country area of the course.
Yeah. Like if
probably
you're.
Probably a little out there and I don't want to say boring, but not a lot.
If you're a person that needs a lot of crowd support, you're not going to get it there. I mean, in the town,
In the town, you will.
But they had a great finish line. Like you come in and it's all barricaded off and they had like the whole area shut down and they had like a big festival then. So they had a stage with music.
Yeah, because is it just the marathon or is it part of something?
I don't know.
Or is something happening at the same time, I should say?
I don't know. Cool little town. It was kind of reminded me of Holland, you know, like.
Okay. I look at I don't know if this is the correct actual picture, but it does look like the picture I'm looking at does look like a downtown Holland type of a feel.
Yeah, it was a neat
East Grand Rapids kind of a feel.
They had it shut right down. I mean, you could go and, you know, you could get a couple beers and walk around in that area with your beer. You didn't have to, you know, you didn't have this sectioned off area.
Yeah. That's cool. And then, so the post race event was fun.
Yeah,
all that was good.
Only stayed, probably an hour because I had to, you know, I had to make up for Baton. Buy my food and they had pizza. So I, you know, tried to eat as much pizza as I could handle. And
you jumped on the road.
Yeah.
That's right. So this was the in and out.
It was cool because Bart remembered me from talking and I think I have a face that people remember or whatever. And he said, hey, you know, and he remembered who I was and from talking in the morning and he's like, what state number is this? And he was asking me questions as I'm crossing the finish line. Cool. He's calling it. So I did take a selfie with him.
Yeah. I saw that. That's cool. Yeah.
And then, it was kind of fun.
Yeah. So it looks like this is year six of the Salisbury Marathon. So they do have a 5K, a half marathon, and a full, but they're all at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So 7:30, the 5K starts 7, and the marathon and half start at 7.
I like it when it's a Sunday race and they have a 5K or 10K the day before. That's kind of fun for me.
Yeah, it is. We've done that at Fargo.
Yeah, especially if you can get a different medal, too. So you have two medals of the same thing.
I'm trying to think. Did we do was it just the 10K? Because they have a 5, a 10, and a half and a full the next day. But
we just did the 5K at Fargo.
Was it just the 5? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because remember, there was people with like strollers with kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like a mess. Like,
Yeah. So similarly, that's always fun to just get in the bonus race the day before.
Yeah, I stuck around. I try to get as much free food as I can because I got to get my money's worth. I still come from West Michigan. And then I hopped on the road and I was like, see how far I get. And I hammered down. I got home about 12:30 in the morning.
You did finish all the way through.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just hammered the caffeine and I was wired. I got home. I couldn't fall asleep right away.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I tell you though, could have done that, but I can't imagine having to get up. You got home at, let's say, 12:30. So let's say it would drop me off about that time. you'd have continued home. I would have had to got up at 4:30.
You could have done it.
Yeah. It would have been a rough day.
You could have been like, this is what you get for not letting me have time off.
Yeah, right.
But we could have done better if we would have known that was a plan. Yeah. I wouldn't have stuck around. I would have grabbed a pizza box and we would have just
jetted.
We would have just jetted.
Yeah, we would have got home.
Because they would have handed me a pizza box if I wanted to. We could have just grabbed that. And
yeah.
I don't know about drinking beer in the truck. Maybe kind of frowned upon. I
wouldn't have been able to do that.
I wouldn't have got any beer. But
it is good to know, like even looking at like Georgia, you know, that,
we could do it.
It's actually kind of a cool, like a challenge.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Can you go run a race in Georgia on a Saturday and be back for work on Sunday?
And South Dakota would be the same thing because it's a 12-hour drive. I'm looking at that one in South Dakota too.
Yeah. Where is it at in South Dakota?
Sioux Falls, I think, or Sioux.
That'd be a cool one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one though. You almost don't want, I mean, that'd be kind of cool. The area, I would think.
Could be, but then you just go early, like just
on the front end.
On the front end. And then just jet
back. On a Saturday.
I don't remember that one.
Well, either way, Salisbury Marathon, for those that are interested, this time of year, sounds like it's a fun race.
Yeah.
You would do it again if in the same boat.
I absolutely would.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Just watch where you get your hotel.
And parking on the front end, parking to get to it and all that.
Everything.
Totally good.
Easy. So yeah, see, that's the thing about important. Small races.
Yeah, that's important because, man, you look at some of the logistics of the bigger ones, it's stressful.
It is
stressful.
Even Glass City, like, because that parking lot is so big, it's not a bad race. It's not hard, but
no,
there's plenty of parking, but it's just because remember we lost a car.
It's funny because the front end of the park or the parking before the race isn't as stressful as the parking after the race.
And remember that time when you were cold and you were kind of snippy and it's like, I don't care. I just want to find the car.
I knew we were in the right direction and I was done talking. Like, let's get to the car. I am freezing. Yeah.
Oh, we picked on you pretty good after that.
Yeah.
After you calmed down, we had to let you calm down a little bit.
Yeah. But it is funny because we've done that. Like, I don't know how many times we've done that race, maybe five. You've done a lot more. But
I've done at least seven times, I think, I've run that race. Yeah,
but it seems like if in my five times, I'll bet you four, we lose the car. It's like, where did we park?
And we're all like, hey, we know better.
I don't know why that is so confusing. Because it's honestly confusing even when you get there in the morning.
All the way around that stadium.
Yeah, and it's just so weird the way... Where the start is from the stadium, and the stadium is where you finish, and you think you're walking.
You get turned around.
You just get so turned around there. Yeah, I don't understand it why or how, but it is confusing. You would think after five to seven times, you'd have it a little bit figured out, but no. I bet you we get lost this year.
Yeah, because we're not smart.
Although
we're directionally challenged.
I think it's funny because I think Brian even pinned. Oh, no, we did last time.
I think we pinned it last time.
Yes, we did. We finally realized.
We learned that.
Hey, there's this new feature. I say new, but it's probably been out for like 10 years phone to pin.
My truck, it'll show, I can go on my app for my truck. It'll show where my truck is.
Oh, yeah.
You probably have the same. Yeah.
We do have it with the newer Jeep now. Yeah, we don't have it with mine, but with Nicole's we do, which is very cool.
Take that one.
Yes, we will be for sure. So cool. So Salisbury Marathon in Maryland. Go check it out. It's a fun race. Nice, fun, smaller race. If you want to go do one in Maryland and see the sights out there. Obviously, that is close to a lot if you turn that into a vacation.
It was a cool drive, like driving across the bridges.
And you were out there for the earthquake?
You
didn't feel it.
Yeah, because I was probably driving.
And you were out there when the ship hit the...
No, that was a week or two before.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I remember looking it up and you weren't that far from like that.
Yeah, it was closer to Baltimore where that ship was. But yeah.
But you were out there for the earthquake, didn't feel it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think Nicole texted me. Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm driving and listen to my book.
Yeah. But anyway, go check out Salisbury Marathon. Cool. Thanks for that recap on that. It's nice that you got a marathon in with no, other than the hotel, I guess that would be, don't stay at the Days Inn. Wherever that was, don't stay at the Days Inn. Go 10 minutes closer, whatever it was. And
apparently I still have standards.
Yeah. Well, when your number, your door or your room number is on the floor, there's garbage outside, vehicles are all over the place. Yeah, maybe check in somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's why, did you go to what I always do? Did you go to Google and do the street view?
I did not.
I always do that.
Yeah.
I go to street view.
That's why you're going to be in charge of hotel if we go to Georgia.
Georgia? Yeah. I think that one will be better. We'll see. But I always do that. I check. You know, it's funny because I do that now.
Well, Matt taught me that.
Oh, really?
He does it for Airbnbs.
See, I do it because I want to see what it looks like when I get there. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I recognize this from Street View. Even getting there and recognizing
building. He'll go through and he'll look for junk cars and stuff like that. Oh, so especially for Airbnbs. Like, true. And be like, oh, that's not a good neighborhood.
Not a good one. I wish they had that. Well, they probably did, but I wish I would have done that. I probably did do it and still went with it when Brian. Oh. Well, actually, I don't know if Brian did. Jason, Amy.
Were you guys slept in your clothes?
No. Well, yeah, I think we might have. When we went out to Boston one year, everybody gave me a hard time. It's funny. I'm like you. I'm location and budget because it was the same thing for Ludington Triathlon. They're like, holy cow, is there blood on the walls here? I mean, it was the one in Syracuse, New York. That was the one where we were worried about our like wheels on the car, kind of a thing.
That's what I thought about this place.
Would we come out to?
Am I going to come out? My truck broke into.
Yeah, we were a little concerned.
Stuff is replaceable for sure, but I don't want to
deal with it.
Deal with it.
Yeah, we were the one on the way out to Boston. I think we were the only ones staying at the hotel. That made it bad, and we were not comfortable. We were so uncomfortable that I do not get up in the morning. And I was the first one up going, let's go. We need to go. And it was like 4 a.m.
And you didn't sleep at all. Like you're just laying there.
It was hard. It was really hard. So anyway, that is our race recap of, it's Mitch's race recap of Salisbury Marathon in Maryland. Go check them out and be sure to check us out on Facebook and YouTube and all that stuff and your favorite listening platform and all that. Check us out on Patreon. If you want to join the team there, you can do it for free, or you can choose to support the show in some way, shape, or form. We do have some supporters and so appreciative of that. I do have to call out Chris. I'm gonna say Levi's. No, it's denim. Like the jeans. He did respond once, and I thought it was funny that he said, like Levi's, and so I figured I'd call him Chris Levi's instead of denim, like the jeans. But thanks everybody for the support and listening to the podcast and sharing the podcast. Please do that. We are excited for the growth that is happening, and look forward to seeing the podcast grow. So with that, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we share more about what we just don't know.
Till then, happy running.